This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
And we welcome you inside the post-game podcast. Al, hello.
Good morning there, Jerry. You know, yesterday, because it was St. Patrick's Day, we talked a little bit about Guinness.
We did.
And
did you email them?
I did not. I did go on their website.
Okay.
But people had reached out to me through direct message, and they said, if you go to Ireland and have a Guinness, you'll never drink another Guinness in America because
really?
It tastes different. I'm like, well, how's that possible? It's coming from the same place.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? They go, oh, the one guy said to me, he said, well, the bars over there are very competitive and they have to have the best tasting Guinness.
Okay.
So I don't know what they're doing to it.
Got to be the specific temperatures they keep it at, maybe?
Maybe by shipping it, it gets older.
Maybe.
You know, here in America, yeah. That sort of thing. But I did look. I was like, maybe I want to go to Ireland. And strangely, it came up on my Google Photos 15 years ago.
When you guys went?
When Boomer and Carton and I went to, but we went to the Belfast area because we went for Bushmills back then.
There were two times in the time with Craig I felt very forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
And not by you guys, but by Mark. And that was when the Bermuda trip.
Oh, yeah.
And the Ireland trip.
Bermuda and Ireland. Bermuda had to be so many. I can't find like a single photo from.
Really?
Or it never comes up in my Google Photos, the
That's
Bermuda thing.
Yeah.
So I wonder when that was.
I don't remember, but I remember the Ireland trip. I just remember being in here. Me and Eddie were here. And, you know, for us, it was 6 o'clock in the morning. And for you guys, it was like 3 o'clock or whatever time it was in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And you guys had a day already.
Yes.
And then starting the show, I remember how much they loved doing the show at that time.
Oh, yeah.
You could sleep, have a morning, do the show, go out, have a night. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And I feel like Boomer, because Boomer's not known in Ireland.
Yeah, he can really let loose.
Yeah, he was able to have a good time out at the Irish bars.
So I understand. That's why I love, not letting loose, don't get me wrong, but like when I'm at, you know, Rutgers, you walk around and everybody's so nice. But like even running to the bathroom, you say hello to numerous people. I like when I'm away, and there's no question about it. I say hello to a few people when we're away, too. There's people from New York everywhere, but it's just so much quieter. You're so anonymous. It's just, you know, whatever. So I get that. I'm sure he has a blast in a scenario like that.
Yes.
I would have liked to have gone on that trip.
Yeah, but that actually was a very good trip, only because we went there with the Bushmills people.
Yep.
And everything was like first class. They picked us up in cars everywhere we went. It was a good old time.
Pretty good.
But in it, I was in the conversations I was having with people about Guinness yesterday online. If you're wondering what I did yesterday, Jerry.
Apparently nothing.
Someone brought up a great point. Either I read this somewhere or someone wrote this to me.
Okay.
This idea that, and this, I was trying to think of foods where this, foods or drinks where this doesn't happen.
Okay.
Which is, like a Guinness, there's a diminishing return the more you have. Like, look, when I went out to the Irish bar this week, this past weekend.
Yeah.
To go to dinner there, but I got a Guinness. That first sip of Guinness, Jerry, I thought I was in heaven. I was like, this is the greatest tasting thing.
Right.
But midway through, you're like, hmm. By the end, you're like, yeah, I'm good. One is good. Had okay. I ordered a second one.
You would not have wanted it.
It would not have. But is that true of every food or drink? Like, do you get diminishing returns after that first bite?
Well, I think the first time of anything is usually the first person that did a YouTube video is worth billions of dollars now. You know, the 9 millionth person, it's a struggle. You know, the first bite of a whatever, a cheeseburger, I'm sure tastes great. By the end of it, you feel sick.
Yes.
You know, the first Oreo you have, amazing. Oh, and you continue to eat the Oreos. Next thing you know, you're like, oh, bloated. I feel like crap. I mean, I don't know. I think depending upon the drink that you're having and where you're having it. So, like, this weekend on Saturday, I played golf with one of my sons, and I had three Surfsides, and I paced them. I had one on the first hole, one on the sixth hole, one on the 12th hole. And, you know, in 3.5 hours, I had three drinks. And you know what? Each one of them was fantastic. Now, if I was pounding them one after the other, I think you're right.
Yeah.
But I think it depends on where you're at, what you're doing, what your surrounding is. But if you're talking about just having dinner, I don't know how it, like the ice cold beer when you're having a barbecue. I talk about this all the time. That first sip is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I can continue to have them, but you're right. It's not as good as the first sip.
What about pizza? Is the first bite best or
so
like biting into the second piece of pizza?
I think it depends on the situation. Again, we now go to a place. We used to go to one specific pizza restaurant. We have changed. Went to another one, which just got sold, and it's not the same. The owners have come in. They changed it. It's not as good. We're on another place now called Ray's. It is phenomenal. I will tell you, Al, Kim has to tell me to stop eating it. Usually I'm good. I'm usually a 2.5 slice person. The other day, she's like, oh, you didn't slice that third one in half? I'm like, nope. She's like, eh. She goes, I know you're going to be mad at yourself. I'm like, no, I'm not. I had all three of them, and I could have had a fourth. So that's the one for me that I would say no to.
Yeah, so after the first slice, you're still, it's still really good.
One. Yes.
Right, so that's what I think with pizza. I don't think it's the first slice. I think it's like the second slice is the...
The sweet spot.
The sweet spot, yeah. But that's what I say even about like desserts where someone will say, oh, I'll have a bite.
Right.
Because the first bite of a donut.
Delicious.
Of a cannoli.
Yeah, yeah.
That first bite is like, ah. Oh. But if you have to be able to know that and resist going further.
Yeah, because then you go overboard.
Yeah, but knowing that the first bite is the best.
How do you stop yourself?
I don't know.
Like, I've always thought, and again, this is a compliment to you, when you used to do what you did with the one Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yeah, I would have one slither of a Kit Kat.
Oh, Kit Kat. I'm sorry. Yeah. How the hell do you do that? Like, that takes, to me, I look at it, I'm like, why can't I have the whole Kit? It's nothing. But yet, you're consuming more crap, more calories, and they're empty.
Yeah.
And yet, you were able just to satisfy that craving by having literally one piece of a four-piece Kit Kat that lasted you a whole week.
Yeah, that was the thing. I'd have
doesn't
one
make sense.
Kit Kat bar. I could get 4 days out of it.
God, it doesn't
it's
make
delicious.
Sense.
Delicious.
Now, those Unreal bars that my wife has bought, the dark chocolate over the coconut,
mm-hmm.
for some reason, and maybe because there's not as much crap in it, I do have one of those, and I do feel satisfied. It's great.
Yes, it's very satisfying.
But I can't do it with the Kit Kat or a Twix bar or whatever, a Hershey bar, or even the Reese's peanut butter cup. Like,
because they're packaged like in the Unreal bars that you're saying.
They're individually packaged?
Yeah, each candy individually wrapped. When you open a Kit Kat, there's the four slices. You open the Reese's peanut butter cups, there's at least two in the package.
I would love to say that that's the case.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Halloween, when the bowl is filled with individual candies, including the individual Reese's peanut butter cups, I don't stop at one.
But in that point, you're telling yourself it's Halloween. It's cool.
Maybe. These are the games we play.
Yeah, you can always talk yourself
into it. I suppose. Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out, like, is there a food or drink where there isn't diminishing returns after the first one?
Yeah,
and
for me, it's pizza.
Maybe it.
That's it for me.
Like, the second slice might be
better.
Even better.
Yeah, yeah.
And then by the third slice, you're pushing it.
Yeah,
but
no,
the first slice, it's like not is not as satisfying as the second slice.
I like all three.
Then I was listening to, you know, I'm aware of Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah,
I know a lot of their songs, mm-hmm. really the ones that were on the radio. But yeah. They had a lot of radio hits back.
Yes, they
when
did.
Alternative rock was popular, and he was a guest on Joe Rogan.
Billy Corgan,
yes. And it was one of those situations where I had run out of the podcast I was listening to. I was like, I guess I'll put this on.
Mm-hmm.
He was such a normal person. And I don't know why, but his stage persona made me think he was like a complete weirdo.
Mm-hmm. I got that
same.
But
he's normal.
Watching him with Stern a few years ago, I got this. I shouldn't say I couldn't believe it, because I didn't know him other than, you know, the front man for the band. But very normal, very interesting upbringing, as you can imagine. And, I enjoyed the interview. I would watch that again with Rogan.
Yeah, this one, I'm only probably halfway through it. But, yeah, he had, like, a crazy father growing up, like, who was always, like, just kind of nuts. He was selling drugs. He was involved in crimes and all this stuff.
It almost makes you wonder because, you know, I read the book on the Chili Peppers by Anthony Kiedis, Scar Tissue, and you read about his upbringing, too. His dad would, like, his dad helped him lose his virginity at, like, the age of 14 or 13 or something. Like, was in the house when it happened, and it was with an older woman, and it was just the most bizarre upbringing. And you sit there and realize, no wonder they got hooked on drugs and alcohol, because their childhood wasn't normal. And his dad was just odd. I don't know how else to say it.
But do you think to be a successful musician, you have to come from an odd family?
I don't know. I know that lifestyle is very difficult. I'm sure there are some that are good people that grew up very normal and just hit it big. But the more you read about a lot of these people, there's something screwed up somewhere along the way that allows them to have a, I don't give a crap attitude, and I'm going to perform. And if you like it, you like it. And if you don't, you don't. And the ones that hit it big are the ones we learn about, and the others end up being, you know, cover band singers somewhere, you know, who are all very talented.
Yes. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, like, are there other guys that look very odd on stage, like Billy Corgan with Smashing Pumpkins, that seem to be normal when I've seen them interviewed? Like, they're like Trent Reznor is another kind of an odd guy.
Sure.
I feel like.
How about Alice Cooper?
Alice Cooper's a great one.
He's a lunatic. He's a heavy metal guy, and then he's like a scratch golfer, normal dude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he might be. He's probably one of the early ones, right?
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, he was this persona he had on stage. I think kind of Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy Osbourne, when they got that reality show, that mystery was gone. Mm-hmm. Because prior to that, Ozzy Osbourne was this very mysterious, strange man on a stage. Singing, you know, he's the Satan worshiper. Yep. He's sacrifices puppies before a concert, you know. But then you see him on that reality
and
show.
His wife's yelling at him because his kids can't stand him.
He doesn't know how to work the remote control. Like, that's Ozzy,
right? Like, what happened to my guy?
But yeah, you're right. Seeing Alice Cooper teeing off and being a good golfer, very strange.
Yeah.
So Trent Reznor, I know he's done interviews. I haven't really seen
Nine Inch Nails, right?
Yeah, he was Nine Inch Nails. That was like Marilyn Manson, I think, was bizarre even in interviews.
Okay.
Like, he
I don't
was
know
a
if I've ever seen him interviewed.
Man on stage, and he was a very bizarre person.
Yeah.
When I worked with Booker, he came in studio one time, Marilyn Manson.
Mm.
This was at the height of Marilyn Manson, The Beautiful People.
Yeah.
Very odd looking, very odd person. But I know he and Booker had became friends.
Really?
So he must have been somewhat normal on some level. Now, coming into a radio studio at the height of your popularity.
You got to act the part.
Yeah. If you're doing a character or even slightly doing a character on stage, you've got to act the part, right?
Yeah, absolutely. How about Fred Durst?
Fred Durst.
I mean, a lot of his music, he's yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
He's kind of normal.
Yeah, normal guy.
You know?
Yeah.
Not that I've seen too many, but I've seen enough of him. The documentary about Woodstock, obviously, was a big one for him.
That was a great documentary.
Sure was.
Break Stuff.
It's a great song.
Great song.
I mean, that's one of those songs when I think back when I was first driving and that song came out, whatever, sometime in the 90s. That's one. There are certain songs you wish were longer.
Yeah.
That's one of them. Like, oh, dude, I think it's less than 3 minutes, actually. And it's like, it's over already? Like, come on.
And that's got to be when you hear that first guitar riff and you're at the concert.
That's adrenaline rush.
You know, someone's getting punched in the face. hopefully it's not you.
It's not you. But that is, you're right. Like, that song and that sound, especially in a setting like, or really anywhere, I guess, when you're with a lot of people. And most people go to a concert excited to hear a specific few songs. That's got to be one. It just had that and Nookie, obviously, in the day.
Yeah.
But Break Stuff was just phenomenal.
Yeah, and that's what's really cool about that Woodstock documentary.
Yeah.
The Break Stuff section.
And he's breaking stuff.
People are surfing on giant pieces of wood.
Plywood, I know.
On top of the crowd.
Look how dangerous that is. People on the stanchions, on the scaffolds.
Yes.
I mean, it was, and I told you, I wanted to go to that. I wanted to go, and Kim thought I was beyond, that was 91 or 92 or 94.
I think 94.
Had to have been beyond because that was with, with Kim. She
it was 94.
It was. She wanted no part of going. And I remember thinking, do I go without her? And then my mom thought I was nuts.
Yeah, that's nuts.
And I didn't go.
But you would never think of doing that now, would you? Like
no.
If I said, oh, Jerry, there's going to be a Woodstock 2025.
I don't think so. I'm 50. No.
It's too much.
I'm 50. I'll be 51. That's enough. I'm good. But 94 is 20 years old.
Yeah.
And I love that music. I loved K-Rock, and I thought it would be a blast. And I never in a million years, I saw all the stuff on Woodstock in 60, whatever year it was. Never did I ever think that it would be out of control. I didn't. I thought it would be...
Peace and love.
Well, or at least well run. And boy, I'm glad I didn't go.
Yeah.
Oof.
I really wish like rock would come out with another... We need like another
platform for it.
No, just like another subgenre of rock, like how alternative rock came out.
Because
think of all those artists with Smashing Pumpkins and Pearl Jam and Nirvana into Marilyn Manson and where was Fred Durst from? What was his band?
Limp Bizkit.
You know, like they all, and Korn, they all like went into each other and then it's just like dead. Like Foo Fighters, the only remaining guys that are still putting
recording out
music that people care about.
Yeah, I think if Pearl Jam put something out, people would care. But there's not many.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right
Pearl
about
Jam.
That. Is it that or is it that we don't have the radio station to play it? Like, so what I would want to know, and it's very easy to Google, what is KROQ out of L.A.? What does their play look like?
Yeah.
Because I don't think we get that music here anywhere. And I do listen to 92.3, the HD2. I do.
But they're still doing that?
Yeah. Yeah, they're still doing it. And I listen to it often.
There's no DJs.
There's no DJ. And that, to me, takes away from it. Because while I will see, and I can look on my dashboard and see who it is, there's something about the DJ talking up a band and talking about the band that helps me remember it, I guess. I don't know.
It also helps, too, like if it was a newer band that and they're going to do a concert near you.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Agreed. And that's part of having a DJ.
Yeah.
Weezer's another one.
Weezer.
They still put out music that people care about.
Yeah.
I would think.
I saw that there's a show on Netflix. It's called John Mulaney.
Yeah.
Well, John Mulaney is the show's not called John Mulaney. It's called...
It's him.
Yeah, Everybody's Live, it's called.
Okay.
He does a show on Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern live on Netflix, and it's available after that.
Okay.
He's doing a very oddball show, talk show that I enjoy, and he always has a musical guest at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had Weezer the last season he did it, which was really cool. And then this last week, he had Cypress Hill.
Okay.
Who I don't know anything about
right.
Cypress Hill.
You played them yesterday, right? You played them coming out of a break?
No, that was...
Oh, you didn't?
No. Oh, I played... Okay. You're thinking of the Jump Around guys.
Yes.
Jump Around.
House of Pain.
House of Pain.
Right.
The Cypress Hill. But I gotta tell you, I was humming along to, it was a song called Hits from the Bong.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and just about smoking weed from a bong, which I've never done.
But you'd be into it maybe if you're listening to the song.
No, I was grooving to the song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the rest of, like, last weekend, I just went around going, hits from the bong, taking hits from the bong.
Gina probably thought you were nuts.
Yeah.
Well, but there are songs, I told you, and you played it last week, that new song by Linkin Park, Heavy as the Crown. To me, the first time I saw it or heard it, I'm like, dude, I love this song.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is about a song that hooks you, but immediately I loved it.
But I think, like you said, oh, do we have the radio stations to play the rock?
We don't.
But if there was a, that's what I would love to know. Like, I would love to have been at the start of that alternative rock to when they realized, radio stations, mm-hmm, and companies, boy, we have enough different bands,
sure,
in this genre that we can do a whole radio station. Like, you, I don't, how would we know?
I don't know who makes those decisions and who decides that it's going or believes that it'll be well thought of and well listened to. I don't know.
Because I've tried, like, on Spotify, going to the playlists of, like, new rock.
I really believe that the fact that there's not someone live there talking to you,
yeah,
and interact, I think it matters. I do. I really do. So here's KROQ. You ready for,
oh, yeah. This is their current playlist.
This is their playlist from last night.
Okay.
Pumped Up Kicks from Foster the People. You know that song.
Yep.
Lit, My Own Worst Enemy.
Great song.
Still playing that. It is. This, I don't know who this is. Balu Brigada, a song called So Cold.
So it must be new, perhaps.
I might know it. I don't know. Puddle of Mud Blurry. We're still playing that. a band called Postal Service, Such Great Heights. I don't know that.
I've heard the band. I don't know any of their music. I'm aware of they exist.
The Killers, Mr. Brightside.
Oh, my God.
21 Pilots, Heathens, which I do like. That's kind of old now. I mean, that's not a new song anymore. That's
like Mr. Brightside.
Well, that's even older, exactly. wow. Foo Fighters, My Hero. Oh,
God.
Chili Peppers, Can't Stop.
Oh, my God.
Bad Omens, Just Pretend.
Don't know that one.
The last couple, Phoenix, Listomania. Don't know that one. And then there's Linkin Park, Heavy as the Crown, is the last one here on the list.
Hmm.
So you've got a mix there. K-Rock's giving you some new stuff.
Right.
But, boy, we're still going back to 1994.
Right, but they're throwing in some new things to be like, doubt. Hey.
No doubt. There is new music here for sure, and I don't know who some of them are.
And I know they do that, so it's like, hey, here's a new song, but don't worry. The Killers is coming right up.
Don't worry. After Rise Against and The Good Left Undone, we got a good one for you from Third Eye Blind called Jumper. I wish you could.
That's a weird mixture.
Yeah, it is. It is. I like this, though. And this is why when I'm home in the summer, I will stream this on the Odyssey app.
Yeah.
I actually like it. So, yeah.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show. I did that with Mr. CeeLo. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll have CeeLo at 5, you and Boomer at 6, and I on the post-game podcast.
I'll give you one other. Okay. One of the most underrated Linkin Park songs, Runaway.
I don't know that one.
You know that song, right?
I don't know it by name. I might know it if I heard it.
I think it's one of their most underrated songs because no one ever mentions it. But that's all yesterday.
Jerry and I are bringing rock and roll back. We just need a whole bunch of bands with a kind of a new subgenre, and then we'll be good to go.
Figure it out.
Figure it out, people.
Want to go scout the Jersey Shore bar scene for new bands?
No, there's that place, House of Independence in Asbury Park. I think they put newer bands.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
You ever go?
No, I've gone to see older bands like the Lemonheads there.
Oh, okay.
All right, Jerry.
Sure.